Welcome back to Durango Digs. Again, your dial's tuned to AM 1240 KDGO as well as 98.3 FM. Tony Vaccari with the La Plata County, Durango La Plata County Airport. I get so worried about saying your last name right. I know how to say it. I stumble every time. So Mr. Tony, I do want to compliment you just with your since you've been out at the helm for the last 6 years and all the things that the changes you've seen. I am curious, though, I know you're going to be working on your, and it's not the sexy stuff of the wastewater treatment facility. What other things do you see kind of on your, I'm going to say your priority list moving forward? But let's first talk about the wastewater.
Yeah, so a little known fact about the airport that most people would have no reason to know is that we are a utility at the end of the day. The airport actually owns, maintains, and operates its own water and wastewater treatment systems. We don't have, as most folks I think are aware, we sit outside of the city limits and we're not in a heavily populated area. So there's no central utilities in our area. So the airport has a 2.5 person department that its focus is almost exclusively on the water and wastewater systems out here. We pull water out of the Florida Water just to the west. It runs just off the edge of or through airport property on the west side of our land holdings, pump that water up the hill, treat it and distribute it around the airport, both in terms of public use in the terminal, firefighting, some commercial use, hangars, things of that nature. And then conversely, we also collect and treat wastewater on that front. To your point, we have a big project, a $1 million project on the books that's currently actually out to bid right now and hopefully be under construction later this year to improve the wastewater treatment system here at the airport. You know, we're all citizens of the area and want to make sure that the airport are good stewards of the land and water around us and make sure that we're treating that. We've always been able to do that. And this will be another proactive investment for us to stay ahead of changing regulations to make sure that we can put water back into the environment that's safe for all users. And on that front. And so, you know, in any ways, we talk a lot about in our area, you know, the scarcity of water, and the airport is very aware of that. You know, we have water rights out of a watershed that is, you know, experienced some drought challenges in the last decade to two overall. And so we, like any other entity in the area, are very cognizant of that and are very aware of it. And so it's one of those challenges we have long term to shore up our water resources and make sure the airport is drought resistant like any other residential or commercial user. So those are definitely things that we consider when we look at it, our long term needs. It's more than just runways and terminals, but we also look at water and wastewater and making sure that we can really be a sustainable operation long term.
And then along that line, looking in your crystal ball, what are some of the things that you foresee down the road that are necessary? I know you purchased some land just to the north and some buildings, you know, north of the airport for future growth. But what else do you see happening out at the airport?
Yeah, so we keep a close eye on changes and evolutions in the industry to make sure that we're keeping up with any of those evolutions. And one of the ones that we definitely see is a change in the way the airline business model is reacting and acting and evolving around the country. And a lot of that is, I talked about it earlier, is upgauging, which is the utilization of larger aircraft. So it's a natural evolution, but we've really seen this exaggerated in particular in the last handful of years post-pandemic, where, you know, airlines, like many other businesses, are struggling to fully staff from pilots down through flight attendants, ground crews, mechanics, you name it. And it's putting pressure on the system. And one of the ways the airlines are reacting to this is upgauging, which is using larger aircraft to serve more people in single entities or single runs, essentially. So you can use one flight crew to serve 126 people on the Airbus A319 we're going to see here in just under a week in Durango, whereas you need to use that same number of flight crew or a very similar number to serve a 76-seat aircraft. So it's just more efficient at the end of the day. And that's always been, that's been a trend in our industry for a long time, but we're really seeing it accelerate right now. And so it speaks to our terminal development program, making sure that we have right-sized facilities to be able to serve larger and larger aircraft. Because even if our total traffic numbers don't grow substantially, we're seeing people come in greater single pushes. So it's basically that rush hour concept where you're seeing large slugs of individuals come through in one push. They're all getting on that Airbus, and instead of having 70 people go through the ticket counter and TSA and the boarding gate, it's 130.
Right.
And so we're making sure we can respond to that. You know, other industry changes is there's a move towards electrification across the board, both in terms of vehicles. We talked about EV charging earlier. That's something we're taking our first foray into this year and anticipate probably expanding in the future. And then also potentially longer term onto the airfield, the electrification of aircraft. Still a long way out for major commercial aircraft, but for smaller general aviation and light, you know, regional type aircraft, it's perhaps on the horizon. So taking some looks at how electrification of the airport could work and sort of how that might fit into that zone. So those are a couple of the things that jump out to us, along with the water, you know, scarcity piece that we always keep an eye on to make the airport can sustain itself.
Now, along with the you know, with the commercial airlines side, you also have hangars for private aircraft. You were nice enough to get a photo for me with my stepson when he flew the Coast Guard helicopter in and overnighted. But talk a little bit about that, because that's part of the those hangars you see, what, to the south of the main terminal. And once in a while, you look over and you do see some military aircraft. And talk about that. How does that all operate, and you oversee those operations as well?
Yeah, so the airport's we call it a public use airport. So it's basically open to any user. So it's not just the commercial airlines. We see everything from small general aviation aircraft, private aircraft, essentially, both those hangared on the field, folks that are flying recreationally, and those that are visiting as itinerant traffic. And we see that all the way up from single engine Cessna aircraft all the way up to Gulfstream G5 aircraft that are high dollar aircraft coming to visit our market and folks that are coming to explore Southwest Colorado. So we see that for sure. We also have a significant U.S. Forest Service air tanker base here that is based here in Durango. It's staffed throughout the fire season and is used as a launching point to combat wildfires in the region. We've obviously seen the impacts of those over the last well, multiple decades, but in particular, since the 416 fire was the most recent major fire that I think we're familiar with and saw the value of air resources associated with that. As you mentioned, we see a fair amount of military activity, a lot of training in particular. We see a mix of military aircraft that'll come and fly pattern work. In particular, they often are here to either refuel on cross-country flights or to do pattern work at altitude. You know, our airport is high elevation. It's almost 7,000 feet above sea level, which feels normal for us residents in Colorado, but most places in the country, we're one of the higher airfields you can find that has a full 9,000 foot instrument runway. There's not that many. You know, we sit over 1,000 feet above Denver's elevation, and Denver's considered a high elevation field. So we see military coming in to do that type of training. We see medical flights on a routine basis. Flight for Life has a based aircraft here and flies fixed wing and helicopter operations on an almost daily operation, taking patients between Durango and other outlying medical facilities in Denver, Albuquerque, Grand Junction, Salt Lake City, you name it. So those can be at times life-saving type of operations, which is really neat to be able to facilitate. And then we also see air cargo. So FedEx and UPS both fly in daily. So when you get that overnight package, that's same day shipping or next day shipping, it probably came through the airport. So it's pretty cool to see those as well. We're more than just the airline traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I am curious, if somebody is interested in, you know, wanting to get into, you know, the industry, are you guys currently hiring? Are there positions that you're trying to fill?
Yeah, great question. So the airport is, you know, is a city, a department of the city of Durango. We're actually co-owned by the city and the county, but the city runs day-to-day operations. And so folks can go to our website and check out opportunities that are available through the airport as city employees. Currently, we have positions open for a summer intern here at the airport. If someone is legitimately, you know, truly wanting to learn more about it, that's a paid internship program that we operate as a 6-month type internship that's currently posted. We currently have an opening for one of our aircraft rescue, firefighting, and operations personnel here at the airport, hiring some summer seasonal maintenance positions currently. That's just for the airport. We have numerous tenant organizations here that are always hiring the airlines, the TSA, rental cars, the restaurant, gift shop. Those are all private entities that operate at the airport, but are that hire separately. So there's about 150 to 170 positions that work at the airport overall, inclusive of all those different employers on that front. So there's usually quite a number of job opportunities at the airport. So jump on flydurango.com and search for jobs, and you can explore all those options.
You know, when you're talking, it's amazing, Tony. It's kind of like you're operating your own little city out there at the airport. I mean, with all the water, sewer, utilities, you know, the aircraft, the rental cars, gas for the rental car. I mean, all of that, you've got your own metroplex.
It, more or less, yeah. Airports are often referred to just that. They are very much small cities, even smaller airports like Durango function in that same way. You're right. We cross the board between maintenance, utilities, operations, firefighting, water, sewer, you know, helicopters, fixed wing aircraft, customer service, employees, tenants. There's a lot going on. It's an active environment, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I am curious, you know, with the like the terminal expansion, jetway, is there going to be, you know, a second story added, jetways, you know, ramps? Because, you know, it's cold when you have to walk all that, you know, that's such a long distance from the terminal to get on the plane. But is that in the future makeup of what the airport's going to need?
Good question. So that was an important piece of our pre-planning through this process when we did a lot of public outreach and discussion with both the public and users of the airport, as well as our tenants, primarily the airlines, to see what their interest was as well. And interestingly, the predominant feedback we received as it relates to jetways was, we don't need them. Interesting. We heard that both from the public and the airlines. And so the long-term plans, multiple phases out, do incorporate the addition of jetways. As we continue to see growth in larger aircraft, it becomes more practical. But our near-term plans here actually do not include jet bridges. They're still contemplating ground boarding. That was something that was very comfortable for both our airlines and the passenger traffic. We've heard kind of repeatedly that people like the aspect of being able to walk in the fresh air and you know, get the views as soon as they step onto or out of the aircraft. So long term, I still think, you know, we'll end up in that range, but it's going to be a while because our initial phases here are still contemplating ground boarding. It's kind of part of what makes the airport a little bit unique and quaint almost in that way.
You know, it's funny when you mention that, because I know whenever I travel, especially to the islands, so to speak, I don't know where that accent came from, but heading to, you know, St. Thomas, St. John, wherever it might be. And I always remember stepping off the plane and just getting that breath of nice, fresh air, you know, Kauai. I mean, usually it's an island, but I can imagine the same experience, especially if someone for the first time traveler comes to Durango and you step off and you see the La Platas in the distance. And just like you said, that cool, fresh air has got to be, you know, kind of that full experience.
Yeah, it's kind of a sales point for us in some ways. So, you know, of course, we want to be cognizant. You know, some days it's not as much fun when it's in a snowstorm or a hailstorm or something of that nature. Thankfully, you know, in general, our weather is quite stable in that front. So probably 8 days out of 10, you'll get out with clear skies and good conditions. And the other two, it's just part of the adventure of flying through Durango.
Exactly. Well, so we're going to take a break coming up here in just a little bit, but I'm going to plant this seed because I know you're probably going to, we're recording this via Zoom, but I'm sure you're going to look at me like and go, I don't know. So these Gulfstream, all right, I want to ask you, when we come back, who's the most famous person you've seen get off a plane? Because they've got to be coming to Durango because they can't fly those jets into Telluride. So, and I know you're probably sworn to secrecy and all that, but think about that. What's the website one more time?
Flydurango.com.
Flydurango.com. Don't forget, too, to sign up for the Airfare Club. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And if you want to check out other things with the Chamber of Commerce, simply go to DurangoBusiness.org. And you can also check out DurangoGov.org with other things going on with the city, because you guys are a department of the city. But we'll be back in just a few minutes. I hope you can stick around. Think about that question, too, you know. Jack Llewellyn Mines want to know. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. Again, you're listening to Durango Digs on AM 1240, KDGO, and 98.3 FM. Stay tuned.